Dwight Church went by the nickname Dippy. He was born in Canton in 1861 and worked as a photographer. Eventually, Church bought his own plane and took pictures from the sky. He flew all across the North Country.
So he was kind of keeping tabs on Lake Ontario, and the water was low during those years.
Lamar Bliss is Church's granddaughter. The time she's talking about is around the 1940s.
And there was this amazing wide beach, and he said, great, I have a built-in landing strip.
Church pulled the trigger and bought the place. That beach, or built-in landing strip as he saw it, came with a little summer cottage up on a bluff. A long row of windows looked out onto the lake. But just a few years later, water levels on Lake Ontario went up. That amazingly wide beach, it was gone.
He always felt that God had kind of played a cruel trick on him. He bought the cottage, and then the landing strip disappeared.
But then a few more years passed and water levels dropped again. The beach was back. That was until 1952. Lake Ontario surged, setting a new record high. Bliss says her mom remembers that time, the waves pounding against the shore.
Parts of the bluff that she remembered playing on as a kid were gone. Like the big trees out in front, the grass had eroded back to where you were looking at some of the roots of the trees.
Devastating floods like the ones Bliss and her family remember are on record. Data collected by the International Joint Commission, which manages water levels on Lake Ontario, show a number of years when the water rose within 6 inches of where it is this year. First in 1952, again in 1973, and then in 1993.
This area floods every 20 years or so. It flooded in 93, it flooded in 73.
Jane Corwin is chair of the IJC. Those levels, Corwin points out, seem to follow a roughly 20-year flood pattern.
So regardless of whether it's climate change or any plan, chances are there are going to be future floods.
But flooding in 2017 changed the way people saw that pattern. The IJC had just adopted a new management plan in January of that year. Months later, Lake Ontario swelled.
Well, it had calmed down a little bit, but as you can see, with whitecaps literally right at the base.
A YouTube video shot in 2017 from inside someone's living room in Rochester shows massive waves slamming into their deck.
Look at that. Right outside our back, you got whitecaps and just waves just smashing. Look at this one about to come in over here. It's crazy.
And this year, it happened again. People are outraged about the damage to their homes and docks. People and politicians, like Governor Andrew Cuomo, say it's the IJC's fault.
I don't mean to cast aspersions on the IJC, but their job is to manage the flow and level of water. And when you have flooding, by definition, the IJC has not appropriately managed the water, period.
But IJC Chairwoman Jane Corwin says they are doing everything they can. Corwin says it was extreme weather and not the IJC's new management plan that caused the flooding. All five Great Lakes are at or near record highs, and all that water, it drains into Lake Ontario and the St. Lawrence River.
When you look at the amount of water coming into the system from the other lakes as well as precipitation, clearly that's not from the plan. That's from the weather.
And Andrew Grunewald agrees. Grunewald is a professor at the University of Michigan. He studies water levels on the Great Lakes and says data from the 1950s, 70s, 90s, and now all show a clear connection between wet weather and high water.
Throughout much of that time period, it was changes in precipitation that drove these water level extremes.
Now add climate change to the mix, Grunewald says, and water levels will likely get more extreme and less predictable.
I think it's important for people to look at the historical water level record on the Great Lakes and realize that it's very unlikely we're going to ever be in a long-term period of low water levels or a long-term period of high water levels.
Rather, levels will keep rising and falling, likely setting new records. There is one big change along the shore of Lake Ontario and the St. Lawrence River: development. More people have built homes or seasonal cottages on the water's edge.
It was dune grass, it was beach, that was it.
When Lamar Bliss's grandfather bought the place in the 1940s, she says there wasn't much around.
And then in the last 20 years, the number of people that have moved in is unreal.
Bliss says those people have no memory of the longer-term cycles that shape the shoreline. Without that, she says they've turned to the IJC.
I think the thing that really frustrates me is how people are always looking for somebody to blame because it makes them feel better or something. People just love to think they're in control.
And they're not. And really, neither is the IJC. The commission can tweak water levels, but ultimately it's Mother Nature that's in control. Emily Russell reporting in the Thousand Islands.